Well, praise God. If you guys got your Bibles, why don't you do something? It's not on the overhead, so if you got your Bibles, just do this with me. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 28th chapter. If you got your Bibles, got your smartphone, whatever you got, Proverbs, the 28th chapter. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject. You know, last week, I believe, was a great week. There was so much excitement on my own personal heart, as well as from the feedback I've got from a lot of you about the things that we're going to do this year. Well, last week, if you missed it, I encourage you, you can grab a hold of the message online at rockchurch.com. But it was our vision night last week, and it was kind of what we laid out. We laid out, why are we here in Shift? We laid out Shift, why are we here, and what are we going to do this next year? And all the different things that we're going to do, we're going to reach out into the community. We're going to reach out into the world. We're going to reach into our own base in here, in our own selves, Father. We're gonna build relationships and things of that nature. And I was just super encouraged by it. And I just tell you what, I know that we're moving and shaking already. We've got some things in place that we've been talking to people, and they're developing plans for the street teams and all the different things that are going on. The missions trip. I saw the interest list for the missions trip. I was pleasantly surprised to see how many people were actually interested in that. I'll mention it again. During the announcements, what we talked about, a hot topic night at the end of each month where you ask the questions and we answer them. You'll find that our prayer box back there now has a partner box called the Hot Topic Box. You can grab a hold of a thing and drop it in the flyer or drop it in the box, and we'll grab a hold of that. We'll collect them, and we'll kind of pick one or two of them maybe at the end of each month and kind of go from there. So I'm excited about what's going on. And as I was I was thinking about this next week, you know, the Lord really impressed upon my heart. The next step is to talk about the subject of boldness, to be bold. Now, boldness is that term. It's one of those things that, you know, I think we all kind of can relate to. We all know what boldness is. We don't have to define it what Webster's dictionary says. We don't have to go online and Wikipedia what boldness is. We know what boldness is. We've all either been bold in our own selves. Some of us are just naturally bold in some ways or another. And some of us have lacked in that. And, you know, it's essential, I believe, in the Christian walk and to do what God has called us to do, to step out, to be bold. And we're going to look tonight about what the Bible says about being bold. You know, I can say my life, you know, if you know me, other than just up on the stage, you know that oftentimes with a group, I guess I'm the one that always talks. But truly, I'm an introverted person. Truly, actually speaking, I'm an introverted person. Being around people is something that is out of my comfort zone. It's actually the way I am is normally I like to be by myself. Pastor Joey knows him. He's trying to hang out with me. And I'm always like, yeah, man, I'm at home. And that's what I like to do. He's like, hey, you want to go do something? I'm at home, man. You want to come to my house? It's cool. But you got me to leave my house? Nah, man. I'm an introverted person. And oftentimes for me, when I'm around a group, I talk. But oftentimes that's an insecurity of mine to kind of compensate for my introverted personality. If you guys are wondering what an introverted person is, that's a person that's, you know, doesn't necessarily, isn't natural around other people. Extroverted people like Antonio, you know, the guy with the rosy cheeks, and Angelina's husband, he's in Seattle, so I can talk smack about him tonight. He's an extroverted person. No matter what you do, he just wants to be around people. He's energized by people, 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 people all day long. Me, man, it's like after a service, I'm like, oh, people. Not that y'all wear me out. It's just that's my personality. That's just how people are. I'm a more task-oriented person. Well, boldness for somebody of my personality is a tough thing to do. You know, when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to buying a car, when it comes to whatever it might be, to stepping out and doing something in my life that is beyond my comfort zone, oftentimes I lack in boldness, and I really believe that each and every one of us at some point in our life can probably relate to that, and things that we should have said when we didn't say them, or things that we said that maybe we shouldn't have said, or things that we, you know, when we should have left or should have taken a stand when everybody else was saying that this is the way to go, that this is the thing to do. And for us as Christians, it's time for us to kind of look into the Bible and to see what the Bible says about our lives as far as being bold. Because the bottom line is that us as Christians are not called to be mamby-pamby. Y'all seen the Priceline commercials? Just imagine William Shatner as the guy's trying to negotiate, and he calls him a mamby-pamby. God isn't up there in heaven hoping that we're going to be mamby-pamby Christians, but rather that we're going to be bold. We're going to stick our necks out. We're going to do what God has called us to do, even if it stretches us beyond our comfort zone, even if it feels unnatural to us, even if we feel like we're dumb for doing it, we're going to be bold. Jesus Christ talks about it. Paul the Apostle talks about it. And I got three simple points, and then I got a couple questions for you to stimulate conversation right afterwards. But we're going to talk about boldness. Now, I had you to turn to Proverbs, the 28th chapter, in the first verse. Now, there's no denying, there's no hiding it. A lot of you know, because I've mentioned it before, that Pastor Luke is a history buff. I love history. Well, for me, because I like history, I like things of old, there's a certain category of movies that if there's ever one on TV, guaranteed, I will watch it. And that is a Western. Oh, I love me a Western. I'll tell you what, some John Wayne, some Clint Eastwood, some Robert Duvall, even some Kevin Costner, I'll throw him in there too. I will take a Jimmy Stewart, oh man, all them, Gene Autry, all those guys, dude. Some Bonanza on TV. Oh, I'm a Western fan. I mean, you should see me. I got flannels like you wouldn't believe. I don't wear them here. But, man, I'm country at heart, all right? So, well, anyways, there was a remake of an older Western that John Wayne starred in called True Grit. Came out, I think, last year, year before, whatever. And in the beginning of that movie was a verse, Proverbs 28 chapter, verse number 1. And the first part of that verse, it says, when the wicked flee, no one pursues. I like that. That's what True Grit was talking about. If you remember, if you saw that movie, talking about boldness, little Maddie, she was bold, man. That girl just, she pushed everybody's button. She didn't take no for an answer. She negotiated. If you remember, if you saw that movie, the dude in the beginning of the movie when she was trying to buy back the horses or sell the horses to him, it was the funniest scene in the world, I think. But anyway, she was bold. But, you know, the movie only has that section of the verse. But I love the second half of the first verse of the 28th chapter of Proverbs. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Now, that kind of, what does that make sense? What does that mean? The wicked flee even though no one pursues. I was reading it in other translations. Basically, it says it like this. Those who are wicked, those who are of the things of this world, those who are wicked in their heart or whatever you might want to call it, they flee even though nobody pursues. They're ready to go. They're ready to run at a moment's notice. They're not standing on true solid ground. You know, if you've ever done something wrong, you remember as a kid, maybe you stole a cookie out of the cookie jar and you know your mom was going to find out. I mean, you were like afraid when that door opened. You're like, ooh, you know, you were just ready for it. I don't know if any of you all were there. But that's kind of what they're saying is the wicked flee even though nobody pursues, because you know what? You're ready. You're on the alert, man. You're ready to get out at a moment's notice to protect yourself. But he says that the righteous are bold like a lion. Now, if you get that visual illustration, man, you go down to the San Diego Zoo or the San Diego Wild Animal Park, there's lions. They sit on a Land Rover. That lion don't move. You could bang on the glass. You could yell at it. You could do whatever you want. That lion's like, what? The righteous are bold like lions. You get the visual illustration of a pride of lions. What is the lion? He's the king of the king of the jungle. The righteous are bold like lions. We as the children of God, we as the righteous people of God are supposed to be bold like lions, not mamby-pamby like the wicked. We're not supposed to be ready to run at a moment's notice because, oh man, I'm just not sure, I'm not afraid. You know, I know I should go tell people about Jesus Christ, but I'm just so afraid. Ah! We'd run away. But rather, we see somebody, we see an opportunity, whatever it might be, whether it be sharing the gospel with somebody or whether it be just standing for what you believe in. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, the first 28th chapter, the verse, that we ought to be bold like lions. We ought to stand our ground when everybody else, when society, when everybody else is pushing their old thoughts and their whole ideology on us and the world around us begins to adapt that because everybody else stays silent. We, the righteous, should be bold like lions and we should not move. We should stand our ground. We should be able to stand tall, stand firm, and stand what God has called us on, to read what the Word of God says and to stand on that foundation of what God says. But in order to do that, we got to be bold. And in order to be bold, we got to know what the Bible says about being bold. You guys want to kind of get into what the Bible says about being bold? Talking about boldness tonight? Well, we're talking about boldness. I got three simple points you can apply into your life. And I really believe that this will help you as well as myself. To step out, to do what God has called us to do, to be the people that God has called us to be, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Half of you laughed. Not even half of you, because you're not Trekkies. So you guys are like, I don't get it. That was a Star Trek reference. Even though my name's Luke and I'm actually more of a Star Wars fan than Star Trek. Anyways, back to the message. Tonight we're going to talk about boldness. Three simple things about boldness, about obtaining boldness, about seeing boldness, about gaining boldness, about bringing it into your life, about adapting into it, about seeing who you are in Christ, what the Bible says about you. You want to get into it? All right, tonight we're talking about boldness. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're going to talk about boldness, and particularly in your life, how to get it, how to apply it, how to be bold, how to step out. If you're a person that, you know, just takes whatever it is for the answer, you know, you go to a car dealer and the car dealer says, that's the price.
Okay.
How to be bold. I'm telling you, these are things, this applies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't just stop at the gospel of Jesus Christ. It also tells you how to be somebody that the world doesn't walk all over, the world doesn't trample, to stand your ground, to be bold in what you believe in. You guys with me tonight? So we're going to talk about boldness. Number one tonight, as far as boldness, ask God for it. You want to be bold? Ask God for it. That's pretty simple. Easy to remember. Boldness. Ask God for it. Now, I love the illustration. I believe it's the movie called Evan Almighty. You know, as a Christian, I'm always skeptical to watch these movies, Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty, because they're so twisted as far as the thoughts. But then they actually have, like, a couple good moments, and then that kind of, like, bring you, like, oh, man, all right, like, all this stupid stuff. But, like, that was actually pretty good. And I remember it's the movie Evan Almighty. And the wife and the children are eating French fries, and Morgan Freeman, who is acting as God, he's the waiter, and she's talking about, you know, her family and how their family's being driven apart. And she says, you know, I just want my family, you know, to be closer together. I wish God would do something so that my family's closer together. And Morgan Freeman says, you know, well, you know, if you want your family together and you ask God for your family to be closer together, is he going to just bring your family closer together, or is he going to give you the opportunity as a family to join together? And then she goes on further, you know, if you want to be, you know, you want to step out in faith and do something, you know, are you going to just, is God just going to give you the faith to do that, or is he going to give you the opportunity to start believing for something? And, you know, boldness is one of those things, you know, you've heard the term, the old religious term, the Lord worketh in mysterious ways. You know, so God is unique in each and every situation. So when we ask for boldness, there might be the times where God might just put that upon our heart, give us a word or a scripture that puts in our heart. You know, the psalmist says, you know, Lord, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, the word is planted in our hearts so that when it comes time to be used, we can repeat that, we can say that, we can speak it over our lives. So, you know, oftentimes it might be that when you ask God for boldness, he might give you a scripture, he might turn to your Bible, he might show you, he might have somebody come along that direction and tell you something that might inspire something that you remembered from 15 years ago, or he might give you the opportunity to be bold. But the bottom line is to be aware, to be ready, to step out. If you want to be bold, start asking God for boldness, for to step out. You say, Pastor Luke, where do you find that? You know, Ephesians in the 6th chapter in the 18th verse, if you've got your Bibles, let's just turn there. Ephesians the 6th chapter in the 18th verse. I was reading through, I was studying through the Word of God, and I was noticing, you know, I've known this before, but it was interesting today, because when you're in tune to something, you're really looking at it. And I was looking at Ephesians and then the subsequent book afterwards, Philippians. And Paul here is writing to the church, if I can find it in my own Bible, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and he's talking about chains, he's talking about bondage, he's talking about his own hardships in these two chapters. And I think it's great, is Paul the Apostle in the 6th chapter in the 18th verse. Paul's kind of concluding his letter to the church at Ephesus here, and he's telling them, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that the utterance be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul says, and for me, in the 18th, what is that, in the 18th verse, 19th verse. 19th verse, and for me. Paul the Apostle saying, listen, as you begin to pray, remember me in your prayers. So Paul is asking the church in Ephesus, as they pray, to pray for Paul, what? That he might, that utterance might be given to him, that the word of God might be given and be used through him, that he may, what? Open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which he is an ambassador in chains, in that he may speak, what? Boldly as he ought to speak. Here Paul the Apostle is writing to the church, and he says, listen, he's just talked about the armor of God, the spiritual armor, and he's just talked about the helmet of salvation. Now he says, listen, when you go through the Lord and you go through prayer and supplication, through fasting and through praying and through believing and through studying in the Word of God, he says, don't forget to lift me up. Why? That I might have an utterance from God, that I might be given a word, a rhema word from God, a word that is directly from God, that I might speak it out, that I might be bold, that I might not hold my tongue back, that I might not, you know, quiver in the face of adversity, that I might stand for what God has believed. He says, pray for me that I might have boldness. Then he goes on to say, because why? I'm an ambassador in chains. Here Paul, the apostle, has been snake bitten. He's been shipwrecked. Now he's imprisoned in Rome and he's in chains. He says, I am an ambassador in chains. And he says that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. There again, confirmation that you and I ought to be bold in regardless of our situations, whether we be faced with hardships, whether we be faced with persecution, whether we be faced with, you know, adversity, whether we be faced from our family or our friends, that we speak boldly as we ought to speak. So often, we as the church, we as the people of God, remain quiet to things that we ought to speak out about. Now, I'm not going to get up here on my soapbox and tell you about all the different social issues, all the different things that are going on in the world that the church has remained quiet about, because the bottom line is there's a fine line between love and tolerance. So we as a church are called to love people, but at the same time to be bold enough to say, you know what, that's not what our God stands for. And I'll draw a line in the sand. I love that visual illustration of Jesus Christ and the passion. And he's, you know, he's dragging his finger in the sand. I wish my finger would do that when I dragged it through the sand. If you know what I'm talking about, it's like the sand is like exploding as he's drawing in the sand. It's like, you know, and you know what I'm talking about? In super slow motion. It's like Jesus Christ drawing the line in the sand. He's saying, listen, you want to serve me? You want to be a child of God? You want to be a member of my holy family? It's time to be bold. It's time to speak boldly as you ought to speak. It's time to start asking God, God, I need boldness in my life. God, I'm about to go talk to a car salesman, and I don't want to be a mamby-pamby because the righteous are bold like lions. So, Lord, I need boldness to negotiate a deal. Lord, I'm about to go out to my school, and I know that there's a guy sitting next to me that I need to share the word of the Lord with. I need boldness. I need some inspiration. I need some zealousness to get out there and to tell him, hey, you know what, man? Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you a little bit about him. And to step out there, to be bold in what God has called you to do. You guys with me tonight? Paul the Apostle asked that in their prayers, the church would pray that he would be bold. Again, in Acts, the disciples, in the fourth chapter, disciples are saying, listen, believe for us, pray for us that we might be bold to go out there and do what God has called us to do. In Matthew, the seventh chapter, in the seventh verse, Jesus Christ says, listen, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Church, all we got to do is start asking. All we got to do is start seeking. All we got to do is start knocking on the door. God, I need boldness. God, you know, there's so many people in my circle of influence that I need to share the love of Christ with. Give me the opportunity. Give me the words to say, help me out. And watch what God does in your life. Watch what God does. Because you know what? He's not going to leave you unequipped. You didn't raise your hand one day in service and say, you know what, God, here I am. I'm a Christian. And then God says, cool, now we're done. I'm moving on to the next person. Now you just begin, and God's going to equip you. He's going to empower you to get out there and do what he's asked you to do. Why? Because he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me tonight? So we're talking about boldness. So number one, if you want boldness in your life, ask for it. Number two, if you want boldness in your life, build it off past experience with God. Try God. What has he done? You say, Pastor Luke, you know what, man? I don't know if I have any past experience with God. I look at my life, and there's times where I really felt like I've stepped out. And I don't know. It didn't come through for me. I looked like a fool. I was an idiot. The guy didn't get saved, and I felt like God had told me to witness to them, and they didn't accept Jesus Christ into their heart. You know. So what does that mean? Well, let me tell you like this. I've got a friend. He's a dear friend of mine. I grew up with him, and turns out he lives one house over from me. And he's a salesman. He's a very successful salesman. He sells appliances. So he's not like this, you know, cool car salesman or something like that. He sells dishwashers. But he does really well at what he does. And he is probably one of the most aggressive people I have ever met. And he always is working with me. He's always talking to me. He's out because he's my neighbor and he's also a dear friend of mine. We're always at each other's houses. Our kids are out in the front yard playing and our whole neighborhood, we're all just chilling. He's an aggressive guy. And one time I was talking to him about it because he was pushy. And he kept saying, we should try to get a better deal on this. We should try to negotiate with this. We were buying wood for his entertainment center. And he was trying to get a better deal on this wood for his entertainment center. And I remember kept telling him, like, no, man, that's what the price of the wood goes for. That's just how it is. They go through. And he, why? Why is it that price? And he kept asking all these questions. I'm like, I don't know. That's just the price it is. I don't know. Why? Well, what does it hurt to ask? I'm like, they might say no. Oftentimes we have that understanding, you know, and based on our past experiences with God, they might say no. I witnessed to somebody and they said no. I witnessed to somebody and they gave me that look like, what? But you were faithful to do what God did, and guess what? You opened your mouth and something came out. Jesus Christ uses the illustration of the seed. He says there's seeds that are planted on rocky ground. There's seeds that are sown on ground, on good ground. There's seeds that are sown on ground that are trampled, that are on the pathway. You're sowing a seed into somebody's life when you open up your mouth and you're bold. It doesn't matter whether or not they accept or they don't. But you got to step out and do something for God. Do something what God says. And going back to what Tim, my neighbor, tells me. He says, you know what? As a salesman, he says, what's the worst that they can do to me? Is say no. For an introverted person, somebody like myself who has a hard time negotiating, has a hard time hearing that word no. I know some of you might be in that same situation as me. No is the scariest word sometimes I ever hear. But the bottom line is, he says, after you've heard enough no's, it doesn't matter how many no's. It just matters if you get that one yes. It's that one sale for him that matters, that one big sale. He might get 100 no's to one yes, but that one yes pays his bills for the month. We just got to be bold. We got to understand, listen, God's not going to leave us hanging. God's not going to just be there behind us and, or, you know, just saying, oh, look at this. Oh, they're stepping out. What's going to happen? God's going to be there with us, whether they say yes or whether they say no, whether they look at us like we're, you know, sent from God and it was in due season in their life and, oh, I just needed to hear that. Or they look at you like, psh, what? Doesn't matter. God is behind you. God will give you the ability to do that. Look at David. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, you guys know the story. We don't even got to turn there. We're talking about David. And here David is a ruddy kid. The Bible describes him as ruddy. I looked up ruddy because I wasn't quite sure. Ruddy is red-faced. David is a red-faced kid. He's a little fireball. He's a little feisty one. And the Lord tells Samuel, the prophet, listen, go to Jesse's house, get all his sons together. I'm going to show you who's going to anoint. So you know the story. Samuel the prophet goes and he gets all of Jesse's son and he looks at him and he says, oh man, this guy's buff. He should be the king. Nope, that's not him. Oh, this guy, you know, oh, not him. All of a sudden, Samuel says, the king's not here. And he asks Jesse, he says, all your sons here? He says, well, no, my son David's out on the pasture, but he's ruddy. He's red-faced. He's weird. He's got the harp. He's a musician. You know, he was cut from a different mold, Samuel. So I didn't even think, you know. And so anyway, sure enough, you guys know the story. Samuel anoints David. David goes and Goliath. You guys know the story. This Goliath, this huge monster guy, is the armies of the Philistines and the armies of Israel are face to face. Right? They're facing each other. The Goliath is their champion. He's their big dog. He's their knight in shining armor. And Goliath's out there and he's mocking God. He's sending all sorts of taunts out. And he's presented Israel a challenge. He says, listen, I am the Philistines' best warrior. Why don't you send out your best warrior? Him and I will do a little one-on-one, and that'll be it. That way we don't got to have everybody fight. Well, Israel's quivering in their pants. They're running. Nobody knows what to do. The king is stressed. He's overwhelmed. And here's this ruddy kid coming to deliver to his brother bread and cheese. And he hears Goliath mocking God. He hears Goliath blaspheming the name of God. He hears Goliath taunting the children of God and Israel. And he says, is anybody going to stand up for this? Is anybody going to do anything about this? A ruddy kid with a harp, okay, and a sling. You can make it a modern-day slingshot, all right? Goliath has got a spear or a sword like Mel Gibson's sword in Braveheart. It's probably like 7 feet long. He's got a spear. His helmet was huge. And here's this kid with a slingshot. Has enough confidence to go before the king and convince the king to allow him to be the only representative in this battle. The terms of this battle between the two was whoever lost that side was now slaves to the other. So David had enough confidence because of his past experiences of what God had done for him to convince the king of Israel to say, you know what? I'm going to allow this kid with a slingshot to go before this giant and represent our entire nation because of boldness. Let's read it. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, here we're seeing David, he's talking to Saul. Well, actually, in the 33rd verse where we pick up, Saul's talking to David. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight for him. For you are youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You're just a kid, and this guy has been fighting battles since he was a kid. Logical answer, seems about right. But then David responds. Why? Because we're talking about boldness. We're talking about boldness based upon your past experiences with God. Now here David comes and he says, David says to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. I struck it. I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he has defiled the armies of the living God. David says, listen, here's the bottom line, man. I'm a shepherd boy. I'm a ruddy kid. I got my harp. I got my slingshot. And a bear and a lion came to take a sheep. One sheep. Whoop. You know, let me tell you the truth, okay? Let me tell you the truth. I went camping, last year, and a bear was in our campsite, okay? If a bear was to grab a sheep and I was the shepherd, I'd be like, dude, it's okay. We'll just call that even for not eating me. But David says, you know what? Based on God, because I know that God's got me, God's anointing me, God set my hand upon this, I'm going to be faithful as a shepherd. God has set me over these people. I've been faithful on this hill. He says, you know what? God delivered the lion, God delivered the bear, and this guy will be no different. It doesn't matter if he's 13 feet tall, it doesn't matter if he's 9 feet tall, it doesn't matter if he's 7 feet tall, because he's defiled the armies of the living God, and because God has bailed me on the past, he will be no different. Church, guys, let's be honest. When you go out, when you reach out, when you stick your neck out, when you do what God has asked you to do, when you say what God has asked you to do, you plant that seed. That's the past experience with God. When you step out in faith, whether or not you believe, whether or not you received it, whether or not you got what you were believing for, you got experience out of it. And you got to base those experiences with God. You got to base that and say, you know what? God is good. God is faithful. God is still on the throne. But I believe for my healing. I haven't got it yet. God is faithful. God is still on the throne. God is there beside you, and you got to be bold. You got to step out and do something for the word of God. Are you guys with me tonight? In Philippians, the first chapter, just a couple pages over from Ephesians, Paul the Apostle again is talking. He says, listen, in verse number 12, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Look at Paul the Apostle's life. Paul the Apostle's life, as he was living it, was not what we see it now. Paul the Apostle could not see the impact that he was having on the world yet. I don't think Paul the Apostle quite knew the world impact, the global impact, the future impact that he would have on the church, on the religion, because at the time, Paul was doing what God was faithful to, and he was focused on doing what God was. So Paul is here bound in chains. Paul has been shipwrecked. Paul has been snake bitten. Paul has been cast out. Paul has been left for dead. So in his mind, he says, listen, man, I have had some bad experiences in my life, but based on my past experiences, I still know that God is on the throne. And he says, even the palace guard, the people that are keeping me captive now, can see that these chains that are on me are because of Christ. And because of these chains, now I have boldness to do what God has called me to do. And I have given the boldness to the other people because they say, you know what? If I can endure this, so can you. Regardless of your situations, whether it be bad or good, regardless of your past experience, whether it be good or whether it be bad, sometimes those down, those dull, those hard moments in our life, the worst times in our life are the times that end up being the best, the biggest learning experiences, the things that we get the most out of. But we got to base our experiences off of God, and we got to know that God is faithful. Like David, we got to have that attitude. If God says, you know what, it's time for us to be bold, it's time for us to step out, it's time for us to reach out in faith and to do what God has asked us to do, we say, oh, I'm afraid. Let's be like David, church. Remember, the righteous are bold as lions. We are bold. We got to step out. We got to remember what God has called for us. You guys with me tonight? Last one. We're talking about boldness. Last one for the night. We got to trust in God's ability. We've got to trust in God's ability. We've seen it from the past experience, but now we got to trust that God is able. We got to have confidence that God will back us. Because how many of y'all know that confidence and boldness go hand in hand? When you're bold, it's because you're confident in something. And we got to have confidence in our God. We have got to trust God's ability. I love this story. I love this part of the Bible in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Here, Jesus is sending his disciples out. He's been teaching them. They've been listening to the sermons. And he says, okay, let's see how good you do in real life now. You've been listening. You've been sitting at my feet. You've been doing, you know, you've been gleaning. You heard my Sermon on the Mount. Now let's see what you do. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, 6th verse, Jesus says, but go, talking to the disciples, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now let's stop there for a second. That takes a little bit of boldness. It takes boldness to go out into the world and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because everybody can look at you like, what? So that's boldness right there as in and of itself. But then he goes on and he says, listen, preach, heal the sick, cast out the demons. You're going to do it all. Raise the dead. Jesus says, you have the ability to do that, but you got to be bold enough to go out there and do it. You got to be bold enough to step out, to trust in his ability, because it's not about us. It's not about us preaching the word of God. It's not about us. It's not about the magical abracadabra words that I can get up here, the introverted person that I am, the person that likes to sit at home and be alone with his wife and his son, to get up here and preach these words to you, to feel comfortable and speaking in front of hundreds, in front of thousands, because that's not natural. But God himself says, listen, my ability through you can do it. God's grace, his sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it, can step in and say, you know what? I can give you the boldness. I can get that because my ability is farther than yours. I am stronger than you, God says. Remember what he says to Paul when Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. He says, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. My grace is sufficient for you. Continuing on in Matthew, the 10th chapter, going down to the 19th verse and the 20th verse, Jesus goes on to say, listen, he tells them, he says, listen, you're going to do this. You're going to go. You're going to knock. He says, listen, I don't want you to take money. I don't want you to take your clothes. I don't want you to prepare for this. You don't got to pack. You don't got to make. I don't want you to go on Priceline and get reservations for the city that you're going in. I want you to go with nothing. He says, you're going to go into that town. You're going to find out who's righteous. You're going to knock on their door. You're going to tell them the word of God. He says, if they hear the word, then great, they'll receive you. They'll receive a great reward. If they shut the door on your face, shake the dust from your sandals, he says, and move on to the next. There's your past experiences with God. Jesus Christ says, listen, not everybody's going to hear what you say. He goes on to say, listen, they're going to deliver you up. They're going to take you to the courts. They're going to persecute you. And going on now in the 19th verse, he says, but when they deliver you up, don't worry about what you should speak. When they deliver you up, when they bring you in front of the judges, when they bring you and they say, listen, what this guy's talking crazy. When they bring you in front of your friends, man, this guy's nuts. Did you hear what he said? Can you believe that he witnessed to me? Like, I mean, proselytizing? Like, do I need that? No. They're going to do that stuff to you. And you know what? I don't know if y'all are like me, but when I'm up ahead of something, I know something's coming. I know there's a confrontation. I start going through every angle. What if they say this? What if they say this? If they say this, I'm going to go here. And if they say that, I'm going to go here. And then when you're done, you're like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Jesus Christ is saying, listen, man, when they deliver you up, don't worry about what you're going to say. He goes on to say, why? Because you will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. It's not you who speaks. It's not the Word of God. The Word of God is planted in you. It's God himself, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in him, in activating through you that speaks out. When you want to step in boldness, you got to trust in God's ability that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and open your mouth. All you got to do is be faithful and go, and let it come out. You got to step out in boldness. You got to be like Indiana Jones and take that. You guys know what I'm talking about. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Anyways, you got to be bold. You got to trust in God's ability. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, you know what? He says, in whom? Jesus. We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We've got boldness and access through confidence and faith through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was poured out upon us, through the fact that we now can go boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of grace and make our petitions known. We can go to God. We can trust that God is able. God is willing. God will be there to back us. When we open up our mouths, woo, it's going to come out. Well, we got to be bold. We got to stick our necks out. We got to do something. We got to, if God's speaking to you, to talk to somebody. If God's speaking to you, to get involved. If God's speaking to you, you know, to do something in your life, to get out there and do it, to be bold, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know, church, what tomorrow is going to bring. You're going to go buy a car? Be bold. You're looking for a job, you're going in for a job interview? Be bold. You trying to get into school? Be bold. Because you know what? We as Christians, it's not just about the Word of God. That's the biggest part of it. But it's a matter of our lifestyle. We have got to be bold. God didn't call us to be mamby-pambies. That's the wicked. The righteous, we are to be lions, roaring lions. To be bold, to stand our ground, to be the king of our jungle. We're talking about being bold. Ask God for it. Base it on your past experiences with God. And trust in God's ability. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?